This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. A deal reached on Capitol Hill. But what exactly is in it?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, well, let me give you the latest here of what we know, or at least what we think we know. I think it's a fair way of saying it. The White House and the Senate have struck a deal this morning on the $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill. Now, the Speaker of the House's endorsement of this, Nancy Pelosi's, was being described as tepid. There was an issue that broke yesterday afternoon. We told you we've been on top of this bill since it came out and have been following it very, very closely. And there was a stimulus deal snag, and that was over abortion providers. This came out about 6 o'clock last night, and there was a fight over an abortion providers like Planned Parenthood as a holdup here, and the Democrats want abortion providers to be eligible for aid under the small business portion of the bill. So we understand that that did not succeed. Than, do we know?
No, we don't have language yet, Jay. I mean, this is one of the provisions that we actually flagged for the Hill, among other people. Essentially, Jay, just in a nutshell, the left wanted Planned Parenthood and other providers to be able to access these small business loans, the ones that are intended to meet payroll. That was the provision we were looking to get changed. Jay, I'm hearing from multiple sources on the Hill that that has been corrected, but I would just say I've got about 3,000 pages worth of bills sitting right here that I've been through that we found problems in. I want to see the actual language and confirm that it's fixed before I tell you that it is.
So when are we expecting an actual vote here?
Was the question when it will an actual vote be?
Yes.
We don't know. They are literally drafting the language as we speak, and we have to have that language, obviously, before there's a vote. The expectation would be that it would be today, Jay, although they were planning on coming in at noon and then voting shortly thereafter. I can tell you the House would not even consider this until tomorrow, and there's at least one very high-level source that I'm talking to that says they won't look at it until Friday because Speaker Pelosi, Jay, brace yourself, Speaker Pelosi might want to make changes.
It's really important for the American people to hear what Than just said. So while the headline is historic deal reached, the subheadline is, Logan, no deal really reached yet. Negotiations continue.
Yeah, I think it makes everyone feel good.
For a minute when you read the headline.
When you read the headline, I got an alert overnight at some point, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, that a deal was reached for this multi-trillion dollar deal to help out the American people, help out American companies. But as we woke up and really started going into detail, you realize that no one really knows what's in it, what's actually the truth, and if it will all go down. And so far, as we're recording this live, there's no specific details really to report yet. So what's in it? I guess it's a bit of a guessing game.
Yeah, but Than, let's talk about what this can mean if she says she wants changes.
It means it can't get enacted into law. I mean, Jay, here's the deal. If the Senate votes to pass it today, they're planning to leave town, partially for social distancing. They send it over to the House. If the House makes changes, Jay, if they just make minor changes, which is what she's talking about, it means the Senate would have to consider it again. They'd have to send it back across the Hill. So just boil it all down to this. If the House does not pass this as passed by the Senate, even if the Senate gets their deal through, this will not be law this week. There's still a lot of moving parts here, Jay.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, though. I mean, when you see this thing, a Democratic aide said more than Planned Parenthood would be affected by the language, but they clearly that the language that the Republicans put in barred it, but the Democrats want the abortion provider to be eligible for aid. We think that's not in there. Do we know? No. That's why we're continuing to work on it. And then you got what Than just said, the Speaker still wants changes.
Yep, there'll be more coming, obviously, in the next coming days, but also later tonight. We'll keep you updated, not only on ACLJ.org, but through our social media outlets. Make sure you're following us on Facebook. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and all forms of social media. The ACLJ is that, as well as Jay Sekulow. Phone lines are open right now for your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We want to know what you think about this and how we're going to continue going on in America when we don't know exactly what is in it, but we'll find out a little bit more a little bit later.
Yeah, a little bit later. It could be Friday.
ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow, and we are taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I know we wanted to talk about, obviously, everyone got the alert on their phone probably overnight. Hey, the stimulus package, there's a deal. We have a deal.
Right.
But as we now know, as time has unraveled over the last few hours, that there is likely a deal, but nothing is set in stone.
No, not only is nothing set in stone, I think it's important for the American people to understand this. Yesterday evening, about we started talking about this on our chat within our firm here in the ACLJ. There appeared to be a fight coming over an abortion provider issue, which you knew was going to happen. I mean, it's just you could predict these things, like you could predict that you're at 12 o'clock noon. A lot of people go to eat lunch. You have a bill like this, they're going to try to get something in to help abortion, and that's exactly what happens. The Democrats wanted abortion providers to be eligible for aid under the small business portion of the bill. We're not even sure that dentists are you know, there's the dentist lobby is worried about whether they're covered on some of this. So here's the thing I think the American people need to understand. While we're getting close to a deal or a deal in principle's reached, nothing has been signed, nor has anything been seen. And I think, Than, that to me presents what the real problem is here. Nothing has been seen. We don't know what this is going to entail.
100%, Jay. I mean, look, well, here's the mechanics of how it works. The principals come out of that meeting, Leader Schumer, Leader McConnell, Mark Meadows, Secretary Mnuchin, and say, we have a deal. We have language on some provisions, and we are still writing the others. So they're literally writing those provisions as we speak, Jay. Well, those of us who have been watching these pieces of legislation and actually flagging some of the problems for the Hill, we haven't seen that language. Even the principals negotiating them haven't seen what the legislative lawyers will produce. So they have an agreement in principle, and I would say that is a good thing. At least we're moving forward. But Jay, I mean, you have to trust DC an awful lot to hear the words, we have a deal, and just trust that the $2 trillion that's inside of it is actually going to what they say it will. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait for the legislation, we're going to go through it, and we're going to confirm that it does what they say it will do. And even if it does, Jay, it's got to go over to the House.
Yep.
Speaker Pelosi has to resist the urge to make changes, and then she's got to send it to the president. So we have to take this one step at a time.
Yeah, so just so everybody understands exactly what's at place here, it's possible that we don't get the final votes on this until this coming Friday. And Nancy Pelosi has already said she still wants some changes in the language. So our job is not done. That is for sure.
Yeah, maybe blurry for some people, not sure what day it is. This is Wednesday, so they've got three more days of work
to mess
time
this up.
To mess this up till we get to a final vote. So let's go ahead and go to the calls. A lot of people are calling in with very specific questions. I think we should
we'll
take some of them.
We'll do the best we can on the answers.
And obviously,
we haven't seen
We haven't seen it. Neither, according to Than, it seems like most people haven't yet. So, you know, we'll do our best to answer as much as we can. Let's go, though, to Jennifer first, who's calling in Washington on line one. Jennifer, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. It is good to be able to speak to you guys.
Yep.
I was just wondering, you know, on the bill, why would they even consider even looking at the bill if Nancy Pelosi is going to look at it and change it again?
Well, she doesn't get to change it unilaterally. So what's going to happen is the Senate's going to pass a version and then they're going to try to reconcile it with the House. So the problem is that reconciliation process then is where the mischief could start again. And that's why we've got lawyers and government affairs people and working on this right now. I mean, we've been working on it all day yesterday and today. I mean, it has not stopped. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, the first thing I would say to Jennifer is that the reason the Senate needs to move forward without Speaker Pelosi's approval is because she's not a member of the Senate and her bill is a non-starter. It will not become law. They will not sign a bailout for the Postal Service and corporate board diversity and all the rest. That will not work. So the Senate bill has to pass. But to your larger point, Jay, yeah, I mean, if the bill goes over to the House and they just change one provision, let's say they, you know, double the length of the unemployment insurance or whatever, really any of those provisions that she had in her bill, if they change it, it's got to come back to the Senate procedurally. So if it does get out of the Senate, Jay, I think the ask of the House is very clear. Pass this by unanimous consent and send it to the president for his signature.
So, Jennifer, I know you're calling from Washington State. You've had a lot of outbreaks up there, so be safe, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. I want to play what Governor Andrew Cuomo just said in a press conference regarding the money that's coming to him. This is where the tension points are going to be.
New York City only gets $1.3 billion from this package. That is a drop in the bucket as to need. I spoke to our House delegation, congressional delegation, this morning. I said to them, this doesn't do it. You know, I understand the Senate theory and the Republican theory, but we need the House to make adjustments.
See, this is where look, he's got a very difficult situation up there. In New York City.
Yeah, a specific case, obviously, New York City. New York in general is having...
really hard, 25,000 cases?
Yeah, hit hardest, really, or second or third
hardest.
Everybody
thought it was going to be California initially, and Washington State.
Still bad in those areas, but splitting California. But New York is being hit very hard, and they're putting in lots of restrictions for New York, whether it's shutting down streets, or if you've been to New York in the last few months or a few weeks, then they're asking you to do the self-quarantine. So there's a lot of those kind of things coming out. So he's in a very interesting spot. He's also in a spot where he's on national news every day and he does these press conferences being highlighted. So if he can make a statement like this for his state, you understand why I would. The question is, now that he's for New York, if he says that, is that going to be a trickle down to all the other states who are now going to go, well, if that's enough for New York, that's not enough for us over in Texas. That's not enough for other big areas.
Yeah, I mean, for California, Washington State, New Orleans, Louisiana has been hit really hard. But I thought the interesting thing in this stand was the last thing he says, but we need the House to make adjustments.
Yeah, if the House makes adjustments, he's not going to get anything in the near term. And look, I think that Governor Cuomo has been pretty good through this process, but I think we need to answer this pretty clearly. He's got to be reasonable here. And I will tell you, the provisions in this bill are largely formulaic, which means the number he's giving for New York, that might be the number that they automatically get. But Jay, the evaluations are based on applications based on need. So if he puts in an application that demonstrates that he's got 20 times the need of California, he's going to get 20 times the resources of California. He has to be reasonable in this moment. His choices are the House makes changes and he gets nothing, or there's a formulaic approach passed. He applies and then he gets resources based on the needs. He's got to be careful here.
Yeah. All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also encourage you to share this on your social media platforms.
Yeah, please do share as we continue this conversation. I think it's important for people to be informed in this time of need, when people are seeing, like I said, headlines that may be a little misleading. We can helpfully fill in the gaps for you a little bit. You want to go right to the phones?
Yep.
Let's go to Michelle in Kentucky on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Nationwide, there's a lot of us that are on Social Security disability and do not file taxes.
Right.
Are we also going to be included in this rebate check, or is that something we're not going to get?
Well, nothing is interfering with the money you're receiving. So let me tell you what it's designed to do. We haven't seen the exact language yet, Michelle. So you're still getting your Social Security benefits and your Social Security payments as you have been, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So the idea here is the real people that, the folks that need help, I think we got to be really specific on this. The people that need relief are those, and there are a lot of them, that have been laid off from work, can't make their rent payment, are having trouble getting their grocery bills paid, and have no employment right now. I for some reason yesterday, got a friend of mine sent me, which I was glad he did because it kind of to show what was going on, and it's one of these app services that do, I don't know what the name of it is exactly, but it's like a parking service. Okay. You park in a particular area, and they have, you know, and they, it was, he sent me the letter where they said, we've had a layoff for basically the entire staff.
Yeah.
And that they don't have the money to pay the staff. They're going to pay through like March 15th. But if you did any work in the last week, it's going to probably take until April. Can we do it? And then when we get relief, we'll try to hire some of you back. That's what this is designed to do. It's not designed to be a bonus for people that are working.
It's not just an extra $1,000 for people who don't necessarily need it.
But here's the question, Than. Do we know how the, not just Social Security, what about regular folks people that are getting their job? Yeah. I mean, we're paying all our folks. Dan.
Well, the short answer is we don't know yet because we haven't seen the text. I will tell you the reports are, Jay, that people that have no tax liability or little tax liability will get the same amount of the check as those who filed taxes in 2018. I actually think that would be a very positive change. Again, if that's true, if that is in this agreement, the question about whether or not Social Security benefits would be increased, we don't know that answer at all, Jay. Those proposals were all over the board, and we have absolutely zero legislative text on that provision. But low-income folks reportedly are going to get the same amount as tax filers.
Well, I understand that, but I don't understand why we would be giving money to people that are employed right now.
Well, I think for some of the issues, problem. I think the problem was time and get it out and maybe quicker to get people, everyone get the money or a certain up to a certain pay count, then you have to say, okay, are you still, is your employer still doing it? No? Okay, good. Let's move on to the next one. Is your employer still doing it? So are they still paying you? Okay, good. Then we're not going to have to do it for you. It would take too much time.
I know. It's hard to administer, but I'll tell you this, American people. Look, if you're employed and you're getting paid, you know somebody who's not. I said this the other day. Help that somebody else out because this is not designed to be a bonus for your creative side projects.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, people are talking about that. Like, this is, I can now do my little, if I get it and I'm still employed.
Yeah.
That's not what this is designed to do.
Pay your bills.
Love thy neighbor is what this is really about. Love thy neighbor. So don't do that, tempting as it might be, for people say, I start a side thing. Now, if you're worried that your job may not be there in a week, that I get. Hold on to that money. I get that. And that's probably why they're thinking about all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're, you know, combing through this and doing all this work so you don't have to. And so there's other people who can do it for you here at the ACLJ. It's part of our March Matching Challenge. We really could use your support. Make sure you donate. If you donate, donate online at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live for your, what day is this, Wednesday?
Wednesday,
yes. The days all run together when it's all in self-quarantine and limited staff and all these kind of things. We appreciate you taking your time and listening to us today. As we break down, again, a lot of you got that that alert on your phone. I know I did have to look at the timestamp. I got it saying, hey, deal's been made. I had gotten up to feed my cat in the middle of the night and woke me up. And I go, oh, great, deal's been made.
Why do you have your cat waking you up in the middle of the night?
It's what he does. It's I don't choose for him to do this. He just does it. He wakes up, it starts screaming, and usually means he's hungry.
Cat.
Yes, but he's like Garfield. He's a large cat who's very hungry all the time. So
Than, you looked into the checks. So checks go where?
Checks, a $1,200 check to every adult, up to $75,000 of annual income, and then it starts phasing out. Anyone who receives makes more than $99,000 a year based on 2018 filings would not get a check. An additional $500 for each dependent child. So just you kind of work that all out, Jay. If it's a married couple with two children making under combined $198,000, you would get $3,400. And I really do think probably sometime middle of April that first check would go out. Hopefully early April, but at least by middle of April.
I know they're working on that, trying to get it. All right, we're going to try to take as many calls on this broadcast.
You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions. Yep. Let's go to Vivian in California. I think that's an interesting question.
Hey, Vivian.
Hi.
Hey.
My concern is not, you know, people that's got money and all that kind of stuff. I'm in the homeless ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're concerned here about the homeless people.
Yep.
The homeless, you know, we're trying to get the coronavirus under control. But how are we going to do that if the homeless people are still living down the rivers and having a place to go?
So, look, I mean, part of the idea with this package, Than, is to get aid also to organizations that are helping in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of this is direct aid to hospitals and care providers. Others are to small businesses that exist in this space. But, Jay, there's always going to be a gap for the poor and needy. I mean, we've talked about this on this show before. That's really our job. So I would go back to something that you said. If you do have a job, if you do have a steady income, and you do get this check, how about you think about applying it to some of these people that Vivian is talking about? Because, look, as much as the government can create these programs, Jay, it is not going to cover all of those people, a lot of that is going to fall to us.
No, and I think that's where, look, for those of us that are blessed with work and being paid during this time, be smart, utilize that money generously, and Vivian's example of the homeless is exactly the kind of thing you're going to want to do if, in fact, you have employment. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking, though, Logan. I've got employment this week.
Right.
I got employment, I think, next week. But I don't know how this looks in 30 days. What are your friends saying, your age?
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people. A lot have been quickly laid off with the idea that they could then file for unemployment, that they could start doing that. And they've all been kind of reassured, hey, if, when we get to reopen, sure, you're first on our list. But, you know, that's a concern because I think a lot of business owners are saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to reopen. I don't know if we're going to be able to reopen in the way in scale as big as we were before the crisis.
And the hospitality industry and the hotel industry have been hit very hard. Very, very, very
well.
Hard.
So many people. I mean, you got to admit, so many people that are employed in that.
Yeah,
industry.
Because you have one hotel airline. To be like, I was thinking that some of the hotels in Washington, where they employ, I mean, hundreds, thousands of people.
Probably thousands of people, right.
I was thinking 24 about hour like, services. Like in Disney and some of the theme parks. How many people work there?
Oh, I mean, tens of thousands of people. Is like over 30,000 people, I think, work
have
for that.
Have they laid off most of their staff?
I don't know exactly the details. There's certain restaurants and certain things have. You know, obviously a lot of them are hourly. They're not full-time workers, seasonal workers, part-time workers. So it's a bit different. I'm sure the salaried ones are a little different, but they haven't made a lot of details. Now they're all looking to hopefully, they heard what President Trump said yesterday with the, he's aiming for Easter. I know a lot of people say, I think it's good to say, let's take this couple weeks at a time. I think that's good for a lot of people's mental state even to go, okay, I can get through another 2 weeks of this and whether they can, you know, when you start telling people 3-6 months, I think is where panic will start ensuing. But if you say people a couple weeks, maybe that helps. I know he got a lot of blowback on that and got some heat for saying 2 weeks. And then he walked that back later in the evening and said, obviously, we're going to do what the professionals say we should.
But he's trying to be aspirational.
That's the hope. And I think that gives some hope to business owners. That gives some hope to employees who are maybe furloughed or employees that are laid off, that you know, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. And it's a concern for a lot of people. So can you then turn it to where in a couple weeks, some stuff comes back online? Maybe that's a potential. We'll just have to see where things lay out. But that gave people, even like in the theme park, you said, in the resort industry, they all moved their dates then to Easter as their projected dates to try to get back
now
going.
Look, I mean, I think the idea is there may be regions of the country.
Yeah,
that's the plan, where there's regions of the country that could open, that aren't having it. Now, what you don't want to do was the concern that Governor DeSantis in Florida said, you know, people start coming from the Northeast in mass numbers down to Florida that have been subject to what Governor Cuomo is dealing with, and all of a sudden you increase your infection rates drastically. This is, right now we have 55,225 confirmed cases with 802 deaths. So if you were looking, I mean, it's a lot of cases. But the rate of people passing with it, which, by the way, any number is not a good number.
And we actually can kind of break this. We actually just got a draft of the text. So we're having our lawyers look over it right now. So that just came in.
Oh, so we just got the bill?
I believe so, yes. We just got a draft of it.
Yeah, we got draft text. It's not formally introduced. So, again, still fluid, but at least there's text that's being circulated in the Senate right now. We like Logan said, we have our attorneys looking at it. We're going to start at some of those provisions that we had flagged over the last 24 hours.
So that's at least some encouraging news, I guess, that at least other people are seeing it now, that it's starting to get out there. So hopefully that we'll have a better idea whether this is something that can get passed.
I think the good news here is
still probably how many pages?
I'm sure it's thousands. But here's the thing. We've got our team working through this. The idea is to get something passed that's going to help the American people. I will assure you that our team will be looking at this in great detail, as they have been, and we're going to continue to press forward on this. Now, we're here for another 30 minutes. Some of you only get the first half hour of the broadcast, but if you're on Facebook or you get listening to us on satellite radio or a lot of stations now too, you get it. But Logan will let you know more about that. But let me encourage you to do something as we take a break. We're encouraging you to do is those of you that support the work of the ACLJ to do it online. And I'm saying that because processing mail right now is very difficult for us because the limited capability of doing that with the stay-at-home orders in some areas and just getting the mail delivered. So online donations are automatically processed and, frankly, are more cost-effective for the ACLJ.
That's right. If you could support the work of the ACLJ, we really appreciate it. We are still in their March matching challenge, and your donations are doubled. That means if you give $20, you don't then have to pay double. You give $20, somebody else is matching that $20, have already pledged it, so that becomes $40. You know, $40 becomes $80, and so on and so on. So we really could appreciate you doing that online right now. I know some of you send checks in the mail. Some people send in their money other different ways. But right now, in this time of crisis, in this time of need, it really helps us out. It helps in processing time, speed, and actually cost, because you know, there's always processing fees and so on. This helps us get it directly and get it quickly. That is at aclj.org. Again, part of the March Matching Challenge. And if you give $10, great, that becomes $20. ACLJ is built on a backbone of people giving. If you say, I can't give you $100, I can't give you $1,000 right now, the backbone of people, backbone of donors are $10, $20, $30, $50 donors.
Yes.
So we really appreciate the support.
Yeah, I do encourage you to do that. And also for those of you that are employed, and if you get this check, as I said, help those in need as well. Let me encourage you to share this with your friends. We've got another half hour of the broadcast. We're trying to take a lot of calls. We only have one line open right now. That'll clear up in just a minute.
Absolutely. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, so do that and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so we're close to a resolution of this. We've just gotten the language, actually. The concern we have is Nancy Pelosi says she wants to add some additional issues to it. And Governor Cuomo has said he's going to need some help from the House to get some additional language in it. Than, what exactly do we have? We have the draft text now?
Yes, I have draft text, not formally introduced, still circulating on the Hill. It's 890 pages, so dramatically shorter than the Pelosi bill. So I think a lot of that stuff was appropriately stripped out.
Great.
I will tell you, though, Jay, just an initial piece of good news. The provision that would have allowed Planned Parenthood and other large abortion providers to access those small business loans, there is a fix in there that we were looking for, which says if you're a nonprofit or a group that gets Medicaid reimbursements, you have more than 500 employees, these loans are not for you. That's not their purpose. That's in there, Jay. Of course, we got to check. We got to make sure it makes it into regulation. But some initial good news there. We're going to continue going through it and make sure that some of the other concerns we had are addressed.
Can you imagine if they were giving money to abortion clinics but not helping the organizations helping the homeless? I mean, think about that for a minute. Let that one settle in on you for a minute. That they were going to give money to abortion clinics, but they were not going to give funds to homeless shelters or those reaching people that are literally on the streets while this disease is spreading. So that is a bit of good news. And as I said, our lawyers have been working very aggressively. Ben Sisney and others have been really going through this. And under Than's leadership of our government affairs office in Washington, we're doing that for our members at the ACLJ, and that's why you're supporting the ACLJ. Our team's working hard on this. We are taking calls, at which we wanted to do that. We got an interesting question that came in from a good friend of ours.
Yeah, it came in from our producer's father, Bill Haynes, pastor.
We
actually shared his sermon, his whole church service this week on your page as well as the Sekulow community page.
How's the Sekulow community page doing?
It's doing well. We got a lot of really great content. We're sharing stuff constantly.
How do people find out?
Just go to facebook.com/the Sekulow community. Again, it's more positive information. We're showing daily devotionals, that kind of content, live concerts, whatever there is. We're trying to share fun stuff as well as informative stuff. I think it's a great place to stay informed.
Engaging it very heavily.
Yeah, I'm in there running it pretty much. I mean, there's other people who are posting as well, but I'm in there posting and doing live streams and events. We'll be doing more stuff as the weeks continue, as the page grows. So we appreciate that support, but we were sharing that on Facebook. His church service, as well as others over the weekend. We'll do that again this weekend because a lot of you are commuting from home. A lot of people are watching their church service from home or looking for a place to watch church.
Yep.
So we're providing that for you there on the Sekulow community page. But also, he had a question, which is an interesting one, which was from one of his members who's recently been laid off, and church members. And he asked, is the $1,000 coming in, is it taxable?
That's a good question. Is there anything in the bill regarding taxation, Than?
I don't know the answer to that at this point.
I don't either.
I just don't.
It would be very interesting if it was, because then that's such a... I mean, giving people money to then tax them of the money that you just gave them feels like a switcheroo, and that obviously could take hundreds of dollars for people's checks.
Yeah, let's find that out. I mean, we'll have to find that out as we go through it. We'll look, but it's a very good question. Thank you, Bill, for stumping the panel.
Yeah, I think that's
I think it's probably not in there is my guess, or maybe it is within the tax code.
And if it's not in there, that means, this question's in the tax code, because if it's not in there, that means there's no provision saying it's not.
Well, if it's not in there, if it doesn't say it's not taxable, it's taxable.
It's taxable, right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, because Section 61 of the Internal Revenue Code defines taxes basically, taxable income, as anything except if it's exempt.
A lot of people are doing their taxes right now.
Yep, so, they did get that extended till April 15th.
Some of our friends who work in that industry, work in doing a tax preparation, they're now doing drive-through tax services.
I know, it's got to be tough, too.
I don't know. Part of me, I feel like it's a bit of a relief, because it's like not as much pressure. We'll get some questions and comments coming up in the next segment.
Yeah. We have some Facebook questions, too.
Yeah, we'll take some Facebook questions. I know there's tons of you watching. Again, please share this. And if you're watching online, give us a call still. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from our social media viewers. That is at 1-800-684-3110. A great video coming up in the break, but support the work of the ACLJ. It's our March Matching Challenge, which only goes about another week, which means if you give $10, that $10 becomes $20, $20 becomes $40, and so on and so on. And we appreciate the support, but give online if you can. That would be great. Right now, like you said, giving through the mail is amazing. We love it, but it does take a lot more time and man hours. Personally, professionally, we just don't have it right now. So please give online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to be taking your calls right off the bat. I know a lot of you have been holding almost half an hour, so let's go ahead and take some of these. CeCe's calling in California. CeCe, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I really appreciate it. Yep. And I thank you guys for your work keeping eyes on this. Woke up today and seeing that we reached deal when, in fact, you know, negotiations are still going on, so it's quite frustrating. So my question is this. You know, I know that there's a ping-pong match going on out there on the Hill.
Yep.
And I just want to know, how can they actually try to slip in money to be allocated to special interests when we have a declared national emergency going on? Can the president just weed through all of this and use his powers of his office just to allocate the money directly?
No, because we live in a constitutional republic, and the purse is controlled by the legislative branch of government, which is our constitutional design. Now, what they're going to try, what they've been trying to do is load up. I mean, they try to basically put the Green New Deal in this. That got called out. They stopped it. The bill's now a third of the size that it was. We're obviously just now going through it. I just got word, by the way, that churches may be able to apply for SBA loan guarantees as well. So I guess all of this is kind of just coming. But understand something here, CeCe, and that is that the process is not over, fan, until it is over. And it's not over yet.
Absolutely, because the House of Representatives still has the requirement, not just the opportunity, the requirement to pass the same language that gets sent to the president. So to answer the caller's question, I mean, that's how she could insert extraneous items. And she already did, Jay. I mean, in her version of the bill, there were literally pages and pages of totally unrelated provisions. So when this goes over to the House, she has two choices, really. She could pass it as is, and I think her chamber would do that by unanimous consent, or she can open it back up. And quite frankly, she can try to insert just about anything she wants, but the only thing that would do is slow down the process. But yeah, it's an Article I power. Belongs to the House and the Senate jointly.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead. We're going to try to just grab. We got a good question on Facebook. How can the House add stuff after it's been voted on in the Senate? It's part of the reconciliation process. That's how it happens. They've got to pass it, too. So, like I said, we're going to stay on this until it's done. It sounds like done is Friday, is probably the likely vote date. So we're going to be on this to make sure it's right on your behalf, behalf of our ACLJ members around the country. We're going to stay on this.
All right, let's continue on the phone calls. Let's go to April in California, line 6. April, welcome.
Hi, hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a two-part question, the second part being more, the most important. The first part is kind of been answered a little bit. Are they considering cost of living in the checks? Because we are family of four in California, in Los Angeles, and that $3,000 doesn't go the same way as if we were anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't. As to that part, I do not think so. I think these are general grants to help you get by. You remember, you still can apply if you or your spouse have lost their jobs. Unemployment insurance, but don't forget that, by the way. Unemployment insurance exists. You pay into that. You've been paying into that. If you've been working for years, you've been paying into that for years for such a time as this. So you can always seek unemployment insurance also in addition to the supplement that's given if, in fact, both of you find yourself in that situation. But I don't think, from what I gather, Than, I don't think there's a cost of living adjustments based on locale. That'd be very hard to administer.
Not based on geography or cost of living. I think there was a balance here between speed. In order to get these checks out, you have to make it pretty generic. And then on the need side, I think that's where the expansion of an unemployment insurance kicks in. Another $600 a week if you are unemployed, lost your job for a full 4 months. And, Jay, that would be on top of the program that's already in place. So there's a balance between those two things.
April, you had another part of your question?
Yeah, thank you. The other part is we had a baby in 2019, and if these are based off for 2018 taxes, how can we reconcile for a new baby?
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer to that procedurally, but I would think since the desire is to help families in their current situation, that maybe, and I don't know this, there'll be some kind of format or form or system where you can do a notification, but. Dan, do we have any idea on that one yet? These are all great questions.
We don't know for sure. I can say for certainty that this is an item that was on the table being discussed because the payments were going to be based on 2018 filings. But, Jay, some of the drafts I've seen require you to file your 2019 taxes in order to get it. And so there would be a mechanism in there to claim it in advance and then prove it in 2019. But the truth is, Jay, I just don't know where they landed
on that. We don't know for sure, but those are things that are being looked at. And listen, we'll put that on our list of things to look at. I think it's important.
All right. Should we continue on and take some more calls?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Rachel. It's calling on line two. Rachel, welcome.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to let you know that yesterday, I live in Jackson, Mississippi, and yesterday our Governor Tate Reeves ordered the abortion clinic that was still functioning in Jackson to close due to the coronavirus. And this morning, they have defied his order. They're still open. There's cars coming in from a lot from Louisiana and Florida.
Yeah.
What would be the next step that could happen with something like this when that order's defied?
State Attorney General's office could file a motion for declaratory judgment to shut it down. They'll challenge the order as unconstitutional, and then they litigate it very quickly in the courts. The only problem is this. Courts are not really functioning, but they are functioning in the sense like the Supreme Court is engaged in official business. I'm drafting a reply brief in case of three cases involving the president. So our briefs are due Friday, so we will still file those electronically. And while a lot of courts are not holding oral arguments in courts, so most cases are decided on briefs, some are on motions, some of them they're doing it over the phone. So that would be the state attorney general would take the next action there.
All right. Thank you, Rachel, for calling. We are going to be taking more of your phone calls, so give us a call right now.
Can I ask you a question?
Open up a few lines, 1-800-684-3110.
Thank you. Sorry about that. For the folks in the, what I would call the entertainment industry, which is getting clobbered.
Oh, yeah.
So what are they being told by the Disneys of the world and the Universals and the hotels there?
It depends on the specific company and the specific brand. Some have plans for reopening, so they're attempting to try to say, hey, don't worry. We, 3 weeks from now, we're going to try to softly reopen. I think a lot of people are concerned of, and the president has said this, it's the economy's not made to pause. So I think people are concerned when the faucet turns back on, it's not going to be all of a sudden everyone's going to rush back out. I think there's going to be even concerns among with consumers who are going to go, well, we've been spending this long in isolation. Now we almost have to work our way back into society and work your way back into going to restaurants, work your way back into going out. In the entertainment industry, I mean, other than the people who have enough money, the lead people, you have a lot of staff, a lot of crews being laid off, or there's these big tours, like you said, or in the restaurant community or in the hotel industry or whatever it is. Some are salaried, I'm sure, are taken care of, but a lot of people are given, hey, we're going to pay you for the next couple weeks Because look, these businesses, they can't afford to pay their crew if they're not out on tour. They can't afford to pay. It's like the movie theater industry. It's the same kind of thing that's happening right now. We're seeing the movies being released at home because, I mean, it was a little odd. I was sitting there with my children. We watched the new Disney Pixar film Onward. They released it at home 2 weeks after it released in theaters. It was available at home, and we turned it on and watched it, and it kind of hit me midway through the movie of, oh, I'm being able to watch this because every movie theater in the world right now is closed down. Now, in China and some of the other places, they're starting to reopen, whereas we've seen the curve start. So things are starting to try to...
What do you think happens in the movie industry? Movie theater
I don't know.
Industry?
I mean, we're seeing across the world as some places are trying to reopen. You know, we're kind of behind certain areas of the country or the world.
The theaters, though, are probably...
I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for the big events, and it's going to be tough for any mass gathering of people close to each other, concerts, sitting next to each other. I think mentally we've almost built a block, and I think it's going to be hard to get people over that. And I hope we can quickly for those industries' sake. I think for a lot of these industries, they were already on sort of the, like you saw the movie theaters, they had to kind of switch, a lot of them switched to now we serve food, and now we do this, because when you have options like Netflix and those things you're already paying for,
very difficult,
and you have
yeah.
a pretty good at-home system where you have a great TV and a good sound system, I think the cost of going to the movies had affected people. And now we're seeing, though, that this could be a big issue for them. I mean, a lot of people are encouraging, please, when we do reopen, please visit, because I think there is that concern too, which again, like you said, the economy wasn't meant to pause. We weren't meant to be in this situation. And now you almost are getting people who are going to be trained in thinking about not leaving.
Yep.
Now having to be untrained and back to normal, it's not going to be an easy switch for a lot of people.
So, and I was going to ask Stan you the same question, like in your neighborhood or in Washington generally, staffs are not really there, right? I mean, and you work with, and you live in the Metro DC area. I mean, so what's it like right now for you?
Yeah, so on Capitol Hill, there's virtually nobody on the streets. All of the calls that have to do with work and all of the meetings are being done over, you know, either calls or video conference calling. Right. A lot of that happening. In my neighborhood, Jay, a lot of people out on walks, but certainly not the activity in the commerce areas that you're used to. I actually drove through what is usually a very busy thoroughfare last night, and literally not a single person on the street. So it's an unusual feeling, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the nature of what it is. And I know the churches and the faith-based groups are trying to be creative and using Facebook and other social media platforms, which is great. And that's why we have the Secular Community page, so we can highlight some of those for you. Not ACLJ work, but it's stuff that we are watching.
Yeah, we can give a platform, too, for people who need it, especially right now. I mean, churches are going to be hit hard as well. If you support your local church still, a lot of them are continuing on. I think one of my friends who's a pastor said, hey, some of our people have said, hey, since you don't have to have services on Sunday, that must mean your bills are down. Not quite how it works. Not quite
no, like
how
the
it
opposite.
Works for a lot of
bills
people.
Bills are there,
right,
and revenue's down.
So think about these things when you're making decisions on where to give. We are going to be taking phone calls in the next last segment of the day. And we appreciate you giving us a call. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll see you in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Let's go ahead and jump into the calls. Let's go to Lita, who's calling in New York on line four. Lita, you're in New York and you're on the air.
Okay, hello.
Hi.
I have listened to ACLJ a lot of years. I listened to you yesterday, and I was really upset about what I heard about what Pelosi and her supporters did.
Yep.
When I got off the line, I called the White House hotline, the comment line.
Right.
And the comment I left, and I called you guys about, was that why can't President Trump, when he addresses the nation, tell what Pelosi and supporters are doing? For instance, what you said about refurbishing the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
And let the people know. I was telling your staff that I'm 72, I don't Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of people that also, much as I would like them to listen to you, don't.
Right.
Instead of saying that, oh, Congress, they're fighting again, they're infighting, let them know what is going on. And perhaps in November, there will be new people.
Yeah. Here's what it is, Lita. The president has to engage in a careful balance. And Than knows this. Politics is the art of the possible. And so he has called out areas of this where he thought it was extreme. And where he thought it was problematic, he'd like the group basically trying to stick in the Green New Deal. But he also has to work with them right now to get this done. And that's part of what he's having to deal with, man.
Yeah, he tweeted about that he would not sign a bill with the Green New Deal provisions in there. And I will tell you, neither he nor his representatives are gentle about this in negotiations. So I can reassure the caller there.
Yes.
But look, here are the dynamics. I mean, Secretary Mnuchin is literally in the same room with Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell, and they all have to walk out of that room saying that they agree on this package before it can move forward. So there has to be a balance here. I don't think the president will ever be mistaken as someone who won't say what's on his mind. But at the same time, his Secretary of the Treasury has to be able to walk into that room with Leader Schumer and then walk out of it with a deal. It appears like last night, Jay, they did that. So I think maybe he struck the right balance.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go ahead and move on to our next call. If you want your voice heard, still got a few lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling on line one in Kansas. You're on the air. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, hi. My main question was, once we receive this money, there's going to be X amount of days. Will we have to pay it back?
No, this is a grant to this is a, this part the individual money is a subsidy grant. Now there may be business loans. For instance, if we've got to do loans to companies, the government, and loans to big companies, small companies, those will have to be structured payments. But I'm sure they're going to work the payments in such a way that the idea is to get the country back to work. Now in Kansas, Jeff, how are things going on your end there?
Well, I work for the aerospace industry, and we are very slow.
Yep.
Unless you're defense, making parts for defense, we commercial vehicles are very, like, parts are very slow right now.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of private flying. Well, not a lot of flying going on, period. That's an industry that's been hit very, very hard. And by the way, it's a big industry in the United States. Not just parts, but actual aircraft manufacturing. Technology is a huge industry in the United States, so that's an industry we've got to have. All right, we're taking your calls and comments on Facebook as well, but let's keep going with the calls.
All right, Michael's calling California Line 3. Michael, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is I've been listening to all this stuff going on, and I'm kind of a little bit concerned with the fact that Nancy Pelosi keeps adding things to it. Is there a possibility that going through this whole situation, that they don't come to any kind of an agreement, that this bill could just die? And there'd be no rescue for the American people at all.
I don't think the politics of the time are going to allow that, Than. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would be politically extremely detrimental, to say the least, to both parties. But there is no guarantee that it will happen today, certainly. I mean, both chambers have to pass it. I think politically something will get done, Jay. The question is when.
Yeah, I think, and hopefully that wins no later than Friday. I mean, that's our hope as we continue to monitor this.
All right, let's keep moving on. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in Maryland, line six. Welcome.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, Jake. God bless you and your ministry and your work.
Thanks.
Quick question. Quick comment. I'm 65 years old, so maybe my memory is failing me, but when that Obamacare bill was being pushed through, and it was like 3,000 pages.
Yep.
Wasn't it Nancy Pelosi that said we have to pass it so we can find out what's in it?
Yeah, here's exactly what she said.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Yeah, so we're not doing that. And Dan can explain to you, and I think this is important for you to understand, especially those of you that financially support the American Center for Law and Justice, so you understand exactly what we're doing.
Well, I'll tell you two things, and one will be a visual for those watching. These are the combined two bills that Nancy Pelosi introduced over the last 48 hours that we've been pouring through. There is no way, Jay, that those who would have been voting on those bills would have known what was in it when they passed it. So the soundbite about having to pass it to know what was in it, it would definitely have been applicable to this bill. Now, fortunately, that's not true. We are going through the new bill as we speak. So, you know, I don't know what time they're going to vote on it today. Hopefully, we will have at least been through it by then. But I will tell you, a lot of what was in those bills that Nancy Pelosi introduced, the reason that they're out is because we were pouring through them. So the risk is real, and the Pelosi soundbite is very valid. But, Jay, that's one of the reasons that we exist and we're still operational. So we can flag these provisions and we can get them removed.
Yeah, I think, look, this is the job of the American Center for Law and Justice. So we've got a team on this, and that team will be on it until this bill is passed. But I do feel like this is going to happen by Friday, and there will be relief to the American people, which is desperately needed. And, you know, Logan, you mentioned some of the industries that you're involved in, but I talked to some friends of mine with law firms in Manhattan. And this is in New York City, and it's come to a standstill.
Yeah, we have a caller coming in. Let's take the last call today. Let's go to Liz in California. It's about business owners. So, Liz, welcome.
Hey, Liz.
Quickly.
Hi, yeah, I just have a question for the small business. We're a small contractor, and we don't have really any income coming in right now, but we are, you know, self-employed.
Yep.
Is there anything in the package for that group of people?
Yes. I mean, the idea is the package is not just designed for, you know, to help Boeing out or other big companies or Delta. It's designed to help small businesses so you can be back in business or stay in business. So, Than, that's kind of the threshold issue for the bill itself, is actually helping these small businesses. That's
one of the main provisions. Yeah, one of the main provisions of the bill, $367 billion reportedly for small business loans. And Jay, under most of these drafts, we'll confirm that it's true in this one, if a small business like the one the caller is talking about maintains payroll for a certain amount of time, usually 6 to 8 weeks, then those loans don't have to be repaid. So there's some administration here, but yeah, $367 billion for small businesses that won't have to be repaid if you keep your employees on and continue to meet payroll.
It's very important for people to hear this.
The proposal is $367 billion in loans to small businesses, qualifying small businesses. But they are loans. But, Jay, under every proposal I've seen, and we'll go through this one to confirm, if you continue to make payroll, if you don't lay people off, if you use those funds to keep your employees, you won't have to repay that loan.
Yeah, it's basically a debt forgiveness program. It's a stimulus to keep the economy going. All right, that does it for the broadcast today.
Yeah, that's right. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be back tomorrow with another live show. ACLJ.org. We're still part of our March matching challenge. Again, if you give $10, becomes 20, 20, 40, and so on and so on. And we really appreciate you right now in this time of need for us when it comes to people sending in checks in the mail and all that. It's a bit delayed. So we appreciate you right now. Going to ACLJ.org and just donate there. There's a big button that says donate. ACLJ.org. Do it today. Support the work that we're doing here to be able to comb through these documents and make sure that we're protecting your freedoms around the world. See you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.